This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. You know, we're both readers, but I am a big buff of history and geography. And I have always loved reading the stories of history in general and also of church history.
Well, I love biographies. You know, we've read a lot of biographies with the children because I think when you see, it's easier to see the hand of God in history when you look at biography.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you can very much see it in people, individuals' lives. And I love Christian fiction.
Okay.
You know, I love historical fiction. I really love things that, I don't know, make history come alive where I can feel like I lived it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's important because sometimes just the bare facts of history, or even the scriptural narratives, they are so abbreviated sometimes that you don't really live them. You just kind of absorb a fact.
I hated history in school. I thought it was dull as ditch water. Even though I read things like the Gulag Archipelago on my own and loved it.
Right.
But it wasn't until we started homeschooling and we started reading primary source documents and biographies, mm-hmm. and historical fiction that I realized how rich and interesting it was, and now it's my favorite subject.
Okay, well, this is all to lead into our guest. We have a special guest with us. We met this lady personally at a conference in Portland, Oregon, but she is releasing a brand new book written for a young adult audience on the life of Martin Luther. And there's a man that intersects world history and church history and God's dealings providentially with all things. And I want to welcome Danica Cooley. Danica, are you with us?
I am. It's so nice to be here today. Thank you.
Well, we are glad you're here. Well, now, Danica, this is not your first book. You've also authored the Bible Road Trip curriculum and also the,
yes,
Cobblestone Paths notebooking journal for helping students learn to research church history. Is that how you got interested in Martin Luther?
I really got very interested in church history when we first started homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before I started Bible Road Trip or Cobblestone Path. And I wrote those because I just wanted something really in-depth for my kids. And I thought as long as I was going to write for them, I might as well make it available for others. But I just say the same as Melanie. When we started reading living books about church history, and I started to really understand the history of our faith, which is our family history, I found that fascinating. And I just wanted to be able to share that with others and have kids really have that come alive for them.
Mm-hmm.
We know. I want to talk before we get entirely into Martin Luther, let's talk for a minute about Bible Road Trip. I was fascinated to hear recently that, you know, Bible Road Trip, which if people want to go try it out, they can go start downloading it free and using it with their kids, or they can get the whole curriculum from you. I was fascinated to hear you say that you had 185,000 downloads of Bible Road Trip.
Yeah. I am amazed that God has used it the way he has. It's being used all over the world, and it's used in Christian schools and like missionaries, and then in homeschools, and also with parents who really want their kids to understand the Bible. And what it is a three-year survey of the Bible, and it's written at five levels. We do classical homeschooling, so it kind of follows that spiral technique.
Mm-hmm.
And so it starts at preschool and ends at 12th grade, and there are crafts and research activities to go along with it, praying for the nation, so you have geography. There's notebooking journals, and I had a lot of fun making those because I use fine art from all through the ages to put in there. And it just is really an in-depth study of scripture. And kids are actually, from first grade on, reading scripture. And then there's discussion questions. And it's just a really in-depth look at scripture.
Now, is this something kids would do on their own or in a group with their parents? Or how would that work?
Usually, I would suggest that they go through the discussion questions with their parents. And I think when kids are young, that doing a read-aloud technique with them, or as they learn to read, doing kind of a round-robin thing where, you know, mm-hmm. each person reads a paragraph, works really well. And as they get into middle school and high school, they can do the reading on their own. But I think it's wise for parents to talk through what kids are reading with them, which is why I developed the discussion questions, so they can really have good discussions and parents can give their own input on scripture.
I think that's mm-hmm. one of the biggest advantages of homeschooling, you know, versus the Christian education our kids might be able to get in a Christian school. They're not going to have the opportunity to discuss things one-on-one with me.
As long as they need to.
Yeah.
You know, you can take as long as you need to, or, you know, conversely, if they've got it, you can move on to the next subject. And so that flexibility plays in, even in studying the Bible, I guess.
Yeah.
But
there's no substitute for discussion.
Yeah. Yeah.
There really isn't.
Well, let's get on to Martin Luther. Tell us the name of the new book.
Mm-hmm.
It's called When Lightning Struck, The mm-hmm. Story of Martin Luther.
Mm-hmm.
And what age level is it aimed at, Danica?
It's aimed at young adults, so middle and high school. I think it would be a good read aloud down to about third grade.
Okay.
Okay. And the title, of course, it comes from that life-changing moment in the young Martin's life. You want to describe that for us?
Yeah, that's how I start the book. And Martin Luther is walking back from visiting his parents on the way. He's just outside Stauntertheim in Germany. And he has discussed with his parents the woman that his mother arranged for him to marry. He's going to law school. He's going to support them. His father is a wealthy copper mine owner, and Martin Luther is on his way to being wealthy, and he's worried about his salvation, and he's worried about whether or not he's going to make it to heaven. And in the Middle Ages, in the Catholic Church, it was a big deal to become a monk, because that was the only real guaranteed way to go to heaven, was to commit your life to the Church. So he's thinking about that, and he's walking home, and it starts to rain and storm, and he's in the middle of open grasslands, and he gets nervous because, you know, in the Middle Ages, if you get rained on for a long period of time, you're likely to get pneumonia and die. So he starts to run, and then the thunder starts, and there's lightning, and he's terrified. So he's running down this road, and he rolls underneath an oak tree for shelter, and a lightning bolt hits the oak tree, lights it on fire, partially blinds him temporarily, and he presses himself to the ground and starts praying to Saint Anna, who is this patron saint of miners, and screams, "Save me, Saint Anna, I will become a monk." And that's how the book opens. And he follows through with that promise. He does become a monk, and he abandons law school and everything he's worked hard for, and becomes a monk, and it changes his life.
And that's just the start down a path which really changed the course of history.
It really did. You know, Martin Luther is a pivotal figure, not just in church history, but in secular history as well. Because the wars that came about in Germany after the Reformation, and the Reformation, the Counter-Reformation, changed all of Europe.
It did. My understanding is he's a national hero in Germany. He really advocated taking the power from Rome. Germany had been kind of a little bit of a backwater. It was just a regional territory for Rome, really. And it had princes and regional rulers, but it wasn't really standing on its own feet mm-hmm. as a country. And Martin Luther really advocated having the princes have the power. And he did that because he wanted to take the power from Rome and promote Protestant Christianity in Germany. But through what he did, and the fact that the German peasant wars occurred at that same time, he really gave Germany a national identity.
You know, a lot of people don't realize the power that the Catholic Church had at that time that was used and often abused to keep the nations in line. Mm-hmm. Because a nation that or an area which did not obey the Catholic authorities could be put under strictures that would not allow anyone to marry.
It wouldn't allow anyone to be buried in consecrated ground. You know, they couldn't receive confession. They couldn't receive the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, the Mass. And yeah, when a country was put under the ban there, I mean, it happened in England. And King Henry at the time, as my recollection was, he had to, he basically had to go barefoot to cry out in penance and cry for mercy and clemency for his country. And he really had to, subjugate himself to the Pope's authority, which was quite a big step for an authoritarian ruler. But we're sort of getting ahead of the story here, because you know the point is Martin Luther is this up and coming young intellectual, and he has this crisis of faith and terror, and in a moment he changes direction and becomes an ecclesiastic. He becomes a monk, a cleric, and steps out of the world, but yet
he can't find peace.
That's critically important, because he thought that was going to get his pardon, but it did not give him any peace.
Yeah, he really thought that becoming a monk would make him right with God. Mm-hmm. But his conscience was still captive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about Martin Luther's conversion, his real conversion, Danica.
Well, you're right. He spent years just slating himself and trying to work for his salvation and confessing his sins multiple times a day. And there was an argument he was a member of the Augustinian order. There was an argument in the Augustinian order, and the vicar of his monastery chose him and another monk to walk to Rome and solve this with the head of the Augustinian order. So they walked from Germany over the Alps through Switzerland down to Rome. And on his way, he walked through Milan and Florence and saw monasteries that were elaborately decorated and full of marble. And the monks there were living immoral lives and really mocked everything that Martin Luther had given up, everything he had planned for his life in order to live this monastic life. And these monks were not doing that. And he got to Rome, and they had to wait a month for the Augustinians to make a decision on their disagreement. And they went, and at that, you could go and pay money and venerate relics. So you would see these relics and pay the money and pray to saints. And he did all that. And a relic was, you know, like a piece of bone that was supposed to be a saint, or a piece of cloth that was supposed to come from some saint that was important. Mm-hmm. And they went and did all that. And he saw, as he was walking through Italy, he saw the same relics over and over again. And he came to wonder, I wonder how many bodies of this particular saint could really exist.
Wow.
How many times could Christ have had one, you know, completely single woven robe with no pieces taken out of it? You know, how many robes did he have? So, and he saw the attitude of the monks and how decrepit Rome was, and he was dejected over it. So he's climbing these marble stairs that are supposed to be, they're called the Scala Sancta, and they're supposed to be the stairs that went up to Pontius Pilate, the Christ climbed to have his trial, and he's kissing each stair and saying the Lord's Prayer on his way up. And when he gets to the top, it's supposed to free one of his relatives from purgatory, so they won't have to spend millions of years suffering for the sins that Christ has already forgiven. So he's crawling up these stairs, and, you know, he wonders how the stairs made it there from Jerusalem, and he's crawling up them, and he gets to the top, and as he's climbing the stairs, the verse from Romans 1:17b keeps going through his mind, the just shall live by faith, or the righteous shall live by faith. And as he gets to this top, he says, I wonder, could this really be true? And that for him was the beginning. And then as he gets home, he's looking through Romans and Psalms, and he sees where Christ is separated from the Father when he's crucified. And he thinks, how could that be? Because Christ is this holy and righteous judge, and how can he be separated from the Father? And he realizes that Christ took my sins on himself, and it was for me that he was separated. And then he comes to realize that he says, well, I hate this righteousness. I know I'm not righteous. How could the righteous live by faith? How could this be? And then he realizes that Christ gives us the faith we have in order to be saved. And that's where he really gets saved. And then he begins preaching this, which was completely contrary to everything that was being preached at the time, and it became called the New Theology. And people from all over came to hear him preach this new theology, because the idea that God would love us, that he would give us the faith that we're saved with, was completely contrary to everything that people had ever heard.
And the thing is, though, it wasn't a new theology at all. It was a very old theology. It was the original theology.
And it was.
You know what's really interesting to me is that this radical news, the just shall live by faith, you know, it breaks my heart that we had had hundreds of years where people did not have the Bible in the language that they spoke, for them to read that to themselves. And they heard this false gospel of works, and that they weren't able to read Ephesians 2:8-9 for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, for by grace are you saved by faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's really the essence of Martin Luther's message and life. And it's why it's so important for our children to study him, because we don't want our world to fall back into hundreds of years of darkness again, where only a very few knew this critical message that Christ came to save sinners, and that his salvation is freely available. And I'm so glad you've written this, because Martin Luther's a very important figure to our family. You might know our youngest daughter is named after his wife, and our oldest son is named after John Calvin, one of his colleagues. And, you know, I think it's important that people know these things, that they know this church history, so that we don't repeat it.
Right. It is important. And, you know, I think that right now there's an attack on the Bible, on it being inerrant and inspired, and I think that was one of Martin Luther's main marching points, was that Scripture alone. We only need Scripture to look to hear God's voice. And Scripture is the ultimate authority. It's necessary, it's sufficient, it's clear, and it's the authority. And that was his message. And I think that message is still needed today. That, and that we are saved by faith alone.
Well, you know, the Reformation is marked by several things that are kind of referred to now as the solas, from the Latin word only or alone. And you've touched on the primary one, sola scriptura, you know, that the Scriptures alone are sufficient as a guide to our faith and our practice. And we need to always go back and submit all of our opinions and all of our questions to the Word of God. And that was one of the things that Martin Luther brought to the opening days of the Reformation.
Mm-hmm. And sola gratia and sola fide, only grace, only faith. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the only way that we can be pleasing to God is by grace through faith.
You know, Danica, I had a real privilege several years ago when I was in college of traveling into East Germany. It was the German Democratic Republic at the time, so we were behind the Iron Curtain. But we actually got to go to some of those places that were, key points in Martin Luther's life, to Eisleben, where he grew up, to Wittenberg, where he taught. But we also got, related to what we've just been talking about, we got to tour the Wartburg Castle, which was the place where Martin Luther translated the Bible into common German. Do you want to comment about that?
Oh, I love that part of his story, that actually the kidnapping scene where he's coming back from the Diet of Worms and he's riding back and he's under safe conduct and he is kidnapped and taken to the Wartburg Castle. That was one of the reasons I wrote the book, because I just thought it was so neat. and then I learned more about the theology, and I thought it was really important. But while he was at the Wartburg, he was brilliant. He took Low German and High German, two different dialects of German spoken by different classes of people, and he combined them and made a whole new German, which is still largely spoken today. And he translated the New Testament while he was at the Wartburg. And that put the Bible into the hands of the German people, and they were able to read it for themselves. And that was amazing. And the translation was amazing. And then later he brought in some Hebrew scholars to the University of Wittenberg and translated the Old Testament. And he revised that a couple of times. But while he was in captivity there, he did that all on his own, with letters home to check it with people.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So Luther's translation of the Bible is still used in Germany.
Yes.
I own a copy myself, and it occupies the place in the German church that the King James Version does in the English speaking churches. You know, there's more modern translations, but that's kind of the test. Yeah, that's the grandfather. That's sort of the test for quality, and you know, the choices that Luther made for rendering so many of those passages into the common tongue. They set the pattern, just as any new translation in English is going to look back at least to the King James and say, well, what is the familiar pattern of these verses? You know, if we update the vocabulary, but what's the flow, the rhythm, the poetry of this that we don't want to lose? And Luther's translation has the distinction that so much of it was the work of a single scholar.
And that's very unusual among Bible translations.
Well, certainly among the modern, Western European languages. I think translation efforts on the mission field probably have more of the very small group that's working together, but something that was so foundational in the life of a nation as large and significant as Germany, to flow from the pen and the mind of one scholar is really significant.
And you know, he was really a man that God put in to history for a specific reason, a specific time. You know, he had the gifts that were needed and the boldness, and God used him to transform Germany and all of Europe and really the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we recovered the gospel through the Reformation. Danica, tell us how people can get hold. This is being released right now, right?
I think the official release date is...
It's November 1st. I'm sorry.
Awesome.
Yeah. Right now it's available for pre-order, which I think is important, because if you pre-order, it really message that this is the kind of book that you care about. You'd like to see more of it, and mm-hmm. I think it's important. But they'll ship on November 1st, and right now Fortress is offering 35% off pre-orders. And you can find more information about the book at my website, lightningstruck.com. And I have a coupon code there.
Okay, it's the Lightning Struck.
When Lightning Struck.
Mm-hmm. I want to say that really clearly for people, because your voice is coming through a little bit garbled right this second. So mm-hmm. let me make sure they can understand it. Go to whenlightningstruck.com. And there'll be a coupon code out there for you to get a discount pre-ordering Danica Cooley's new book for young adults on the life of Martin Luther.
Mm-hmm.
And so where can they go? I know people are going to want to know where to get Bible Road Trip after us talking. Where can they go to get that?
At BibleRoadTrip.org would be the place where you're going to find all the information about Bible Road Trip.
Okay, so BibleRoadTrip.org.
Now, did I understand you to say that you can download the Bible Road Trip curriculum, the different sections, for free? Is that what I heard you say?
You can if you want to download week by week Bible Road Trip, you can get the entire curriculum and all of the notebooking pages for free. If you'd like to buy it in a 1-year PDF, that would be available too, and it's just $20. It's really important. It's a mission that the Lord put on my heart, and I didn't want Christ to be an object for people.
Well, let me say this, speaking as a publisher and as a writer myself, I know homeschoolers are very, very, very value conscious. And
cheap.
Well, cheap is another word sometimes. And I've got to say, for all our listeners out there, you can get things for free, but oftentimes you'll find at the end of the day, you will save time and effort, and really, you'll even save money to go ahead and buy it up front. Let the author and the publisher do the work. I mean, do you want to be in the printing business? No. You want to be teaching your children, discipling your children, and not sitting there feeding ream after ream
and downloading again and again. So listen.
Yeah, go ahead and order the whole thing.
If you can afford it, go ahead and order the whole thing, Bible Road Trip. Danica Cooley, you've heard her talking about the gospel here. She's solid. Her theology's solid. You can trust it. And I just encourage you, go get yourself Bible Road Trip. Try it free.
Okay.
But go ahead and buy it.
And for this month, you really, really want to go out there and check out When Lightning Struck. It's the story of Martin Luther. It's by Danica Cooley, D-A-N-I-K-A, Cooley. And it is available at whenlightningstruck.com.
Now, I have to tell just a little personal story here. Okay, folks, we never met Danica, although she and I have been kind of friends on Facebook for a while as fellow authors. We were going to speak at the Portland, Oregon conference this June, and we couldn't take anybody with us.
Yeah, we had a conference in Richmond, Virginia the week before, and there was no way we could drive 2,800 miles in 4 days.
And it was too expensive to take folks with us. It was just so, the airfare was so high. And if you've seen us speak, you know what our booth is like after we speak. I was in a panic. How are we going to do this? And Danica and her husband and children came and worked the booth for us just out of sheer love, and they rescued us.
They were awesome. They were like our family, and
we thoroughly enjoyed it.
We thoroughly enjoyed visiting with them, and they certainly served us, and we want to encourage you to support what Danica Cooley is doing with this, trying to bring the story of Martin Luther in a way that young people in particular, but you know what? Adults enjoy this kind of thing too.
Oh, yeah.
That all of us can benefit from seeing how God worked in the faith of this one man who really looked at death in the face to hold fast to the Word of God and change the course of history for the better.
This is a great way to teach your sons the manly virtues.
Mm-hmm.
In his story, you'll read about his wife, Katie. You can teach your kids what it means to stand up for your faith. Because when he did this, they put a price on his head.
Mm-hmm.
And his life was at risk the rest of his life. That kind of courage and boldness, you need to teach your kids about this. You need this book. Our family's going to get it. We highly recommend it. Go to whenlightningstruck.com and check it out. Thank you for joining us, folks. Thank you for joining us, Danica.
Danica, this has been a pleasure
to talk to you.
And, oh, I had so much fun. Thank you.
And folks, as you know, find us at raisingrealmen.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/raisingrealmen.
Mm-hmm.
And we will talk to you next week. And I believe we're going to be talking about our Reformation Day celebrations, aren't we?
I think we probably are. Yes.
Okay.
And Danica, I have more that I wanted to talk with you about.
So don't hang up.
And we've just run out of time. So can we invite you back for another session?
Oh, absolutely.
We would love to talk with you again because we have more things we'd like to discuss with Danica Cooley, the author of When Lightning Struck, the story of Martin Luther, as well as Bible Road Trip and the Cobblestone Path Study Guides. So until next time, we hope you'll join us again as we take the Word of God and the principles of Scripture and apply them in a practical way to the 21st century family. Until next time, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks, and God bless you for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.